This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala abdillahi wa rasulih, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. We're continuing with the tafsir of Surah An-Naba, Amma Yatasa'aloon. Just to recap on what we've spoken about so far, this surah, it is a surah which is Makkiyah, was revealed in Mecca. It speaks about the last day, about resurrection, and about what will happen on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and the different situation that the people will be in on that day. And it begins with a question. عَمَّ يَتَسَأَلُونَ. What is it that they are asking each other about? And we said that this is the disbelievers. They are asking each other about something, not because they are sincerely looking for the truth, but because they are trying to reject it or look down on it or belittle it because of their questioning. In other words, do you really believe this is true? Do you really think it's true? What is the thing that they are asking about? عن النبأ العظيم. النبأ العظيم. It is the news that is very important, that is something very dangerous, something very serious, something very important. And the scholars, they said, either they are arguing and speaking about al-ba'ath, about resurrection, or about the Qur'an. الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. How is it that they are differing over it? Either it is the difference between the people of Iman and the people of Kufr about the resurrection, or the difference of the resurrection among the different people. So not all of them believed in, and some of them believed in the resurrection and some of them didn't. Or the discussion is over the Qur'an, and they are discussing, is it magic? Is it taught by the people of the book? Is it a madman? Is it a poet? Is it, and they are discussing with each other about that, and that is what الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. كَلَّا. It's not as they think. سَيَعْلَمُونَ. They will certainly come to know the reality of the resurrection and the reality of the Qur'an, and it will not be long before they will come to know this. They will come to know it either because when you die, you see the reality of what will happen to you. And at that time, they will know, عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ. They will see for sure what is going to happen to them when they die. And that death is not far away from a person when Al-Qiyamah al-Sughra, the lesser Qiyamah, happens to a person when they die. And then finally, when they are resurrected, they will see حَقَّ الْيَقِينَ. For certain and for sure, without any doubt, what they have been resurrected to. Then the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread out the earth for them. It doesn't shake, it doesn't move around, and they move around on it and they seek their means of livelihood. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا, and the mountains as pegs, like the pegs of a tent that stop the tent from shaking. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Here I want to add a point that I didn't add last time. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. الظاهر here, what comes to mind in the tafsir here, وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. We created you male and female. أَزْوَاجًا, male and female. But that's not the only opinion in the ayah. The opinion in the ayah, no, still there's only two genders, male and female. But the opinion in the ayah is also another opinion regarding the ayah, is that the azwaj here are the pairs in terms of opposites. So not just male and female, but also shaqiyun wa sa'id, wretched and happy. Yani the one who is a kafir and the one who is a believer. Qasirun wa tawil, short and tall. Sahihun wa marid, the one who is healthy and the one who is sick. A'jamiyun wa arabi, someone who is an Arab and someone who is not an Arab. For example, Karimun, the person who is generous ولائم, and the person who is ignoble. يعني. So there are, Allah has created, يعني some of the scholars, they said azwajan, pairs as in opposite pairs, opposite pairs. مؤمنون وكافر. فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن. Among you are disbelievers and among you are believers. شقي وسعيد. The one who is going to go to Jahannam and the one who will go to Jannah, and so on. وجعلنا نومكم سباتا, and we have made your sleep as an end to your toil and your hard work, and a rest from it. وجعلنا الليل لباسا, and that we've made the night as a clothing to cover you with its darkness, and so a person calms and becomes rested, and they are ready for the next day. وجعلنا النهار معاشا, and we've made the day suitable for living in, and suitable for living in, and suitable for earning your living in. وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا, and we built above you seven strong heavens, and these heavens, they don't have any breaks in them, they don't have any flaws in them. You know, for example, I want you to think of something. If you look at a building that is 100 years old, or you look at a building that is 200 years old, what do you see in the bricks between it? The cracks, the, you know, the sign of the age. It looks like something that is, you know, it's old and it's cracked and it's worn. But you don't see any of that in the sky, even though the heavens is older than that building. In the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth in the earliest time, before Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. But you don't see any cracks in it. You don't see any aging in it. You don't see anything which shows that it is and it's falling apart, or it's ruined, or it's run down. But if you see a building that is even 2,000 years old, you see that it's like a ruin. It's like something which is falling apart. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens shidad, and they are strong and mighty. They don't fall apart because of the age. وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا, and Allah put in the sky a lamp which is burning and bright. Burning brightly. Wahaj, we said, it's burning hot and bright. It's burning hot and bright. And it's fueling itself in يَتَوَقَّد. And the amazing thing is, could you imagine what would happen if Allah Azza wa Jal didn't create the sun? Could you imagine what would happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create the sun? What would happen to us? No plants would grow, no people could live on the earth, animals would die. You'd not be able to earn a living, you'd not be safe, you'd not be... And there is, subhanAllah, so much that we get just from the sun that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, let alone all of Allah's other creation that He gave for us. So if the night became sarmadan, it became an everlasting light, an everlasting night, ila yawm al-qiyamah, until the day of resurrection, who would it be other than Allah? Which God will bring for you a daytime that you will live in? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do that. So you have to recognize the blessings of Allah upon you and Allah's power. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. This is where we reached, I believe, last time. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. We sent down from the clouds that are heavy and that are, you know, they are heavy with rain. We sent down water which comes in a huge volume, and it comes drop after drop, and it pours down upon the people. ثَجَّاجَ. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ, from the clouds, and مُعْصِرَات are the clouds which are full of rain. مَاءً ثَجَّاجَ, the water that pours down continuously. لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا, in order that we bring out habban, the grain or the seed, wanabata, and the plants and the vegetation. Now, I've got a question here. Do we have people on Telegram today? We do have some people. Good. Because the masjid is quiet today, so it's good if we have somebody on Telegram to answer the question. Okay. My question is this. لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. Allah mentioned a reason why He sent down the rain. He sent down the rain so that the seeds will grow, the grain will grow, and so that the plants will grow. Okay? Is that the only reason Allah sent down the rain? If so, why? And if not, why not? From the evidence of the Quran. So the question again, Allah said, we sent down the rain from the heavy clouds, we sent down the rain pouring down, لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ. We sent the rain pouring down in clouds, لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا, so that the seeds and the grain would come out, and so the plants will grow. Is that the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the rain from the sky? If so, why? What's your evidence it's the only reason? And if not, what's your evidence it's not the only reason? There's a reason I'm asking this. I'm not asking this for fun. Yani. I'm asking it because there's a principle in tafsir we're going to take from this. Okay, he also sent it as a mercy for him, for people to drink. Okay.
He says, I believe Allah says he sent down sweet water for us to drink.
He sent down sweet water for us to drink. Okay. So here, then, can we take a principle that just because Allah mentions a reason for something in the Quran doesn't mean that's the only reason, unless you have evidence for it? In general, the fact that Allah mentions one reason for doing something doesn't mean it is the only reason for doing something. That's important, because it tells us that sometimes Allah may mention a reason, and in another ayah, Allah may mention another reason. So the fact that Allah said here, the reason He sent down this water from the sky is for the grain to grow and for the vegetables and the vegetation and the plants to grow, that doesn't mean that this is the only reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm thinking of an ayah that I can prove this to you from. I'm gonna bring the reference for you. I'm thinking of Surah Al-Furqan, ayah number 48. وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا لِنُحْيَ بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا وَنُسْقِيَهُ مِمَّا خلقنا أنعاما وأناسيا كثيرة. Allah said, He is the one who sent the wind as a bringer of glad tidings before His mercy, and before the rain. And we sent down from the sky purifying water, and to make wudu with, and to make ghusl with, and to clean your clothes with, to bring life to the dead city or dead town, and to provide a drink for those that we created, whether they are the animals, the cattle, or many different people. This tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly here tells us other reasons why He sent down the rain. So in that case, we can take a principle that the mentioning of one reason doesn't necessarily mean that there are no other reasons. or no other benefits. That could be important later on when you come to an ayah of tafsir that people misunderstand that this is the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this or did this, and we have to take all of the ayat together. Then Allah said, وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. Jannatin alfafa are gardens which are alfafa. Alfaf here, what it means, alfafa, is that they are intertwined with each other. They are mixed in with each other. And this is, like the scholars, they say, ablaghu fil qudra, or adalla ala al qudra. They say this is the power of Allah is clearer through it. And the blessing that is mentioned is stronger. That it's not like Allah gave you a tree on one side and a tree on the other side 1 mile away. Or Allah gave you one plant here, and when you travel to a different country, you can find one more plant there. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave gardens where all the plants are so many that they are going inside of each other. For example, like the grapevines, where the leaves and the vines, they twist into each other. And the trees, like the date palm trees, where the leaves cross over each other because of how close they are together. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافَا. They wrap around each other because of how thick they are and how plentiful they are and how close they are together. And all of this discussion, why? Why did Allah mention all of these things? Allah mentioned all of these things to show His power to resurrect people after they die. Because if we just go through, right from the beginning, and we just skip through, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the earth suitable to live on, made the mountains pegs, created people in different situations and pairs, made for you your sleep, made for you the night and the darkness of the night, made for you the day and enabled you to earn your living, built the heavens above you, placed in it the sun that is burning and hot, sent down the rain from the sky, brought out the grain and the vegetation and the plants, created gardens that the fruits twist into each other. All of that is to show you that the one who did that is capable and able of resurrecting you when you die. Inna yawma al-fasli kana miqata. First of all, Allah speaks about yawmul fasl. Al-fasl is where you separate things. So it's called the day of separation. Like when you categorize something or you separate it into groups. Because on that day, the people will be separated into shaqiyun wa sa'id, fariqun fil jannah wa fariqun fil sa'ir. There will be a group of people in Jannah, a group of people in the fire. The munafiq will be separated from the people who were really Muslim. The people who are really Muslim and truly Muslim, the munafiq looks like them. The munafiq comes and prays with them. The munafiq comes and says the same words that they say, the hypocrite. But yawm al-fasl, on that day they will be separated into categories. Innal munafiqina fi ad-dark al-asfali min an-nar. The hypocrites will be in the lowest part of the fire. Even though they resemble the believers such that maybe you and I could not tell the difference between the munafiq and the believer. We couldn't tell. But Allah will separate them. The believer from the disbeliever, the truthful from the liar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will separate them from each other. The people of a great reward from the people of no reward, or those who have a lesser reward. Allah will separate all of them. Inna yawma al-fasli kana miqata. So Allah talks about Yawm al-Fasl. Yawm al-Fasl is the day where Allah separates people. And Allah describes it as a miqat. Also from the meaning of Yawm al-Fasl is it's the day when Allah will judge people about what they differed. For example, one person says, this was stolen from me. The other person says, no, you took it. Then somebody else says, no, it was him. And Allah will judge and separate who is telling the truth and who is lying. Who was the zalim and who was mazloom. Who was the oppressor and who was the oppressed. Allah will separate between them Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah Azza wa Jal described it as a miqat. Here the word miqat has two meanings. Sometimes it means a place, a fixed place. But here most of the scholars of tafsir, when they talk about it in the meaning of a fixed time. A fixed time. Now, when we talk about it as a fixed time, what does that mean? Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, miqatan li hisabihim wa jazaihim wa adhabihim. It's a time that has been appointed for them to be taken to account, for them to be given reward or punishment, and for the punishment, yani for the reward or for the punishment. So Allah has appointed it as the time. This is the time when people's reward will come. And I really want you to think about this. I want you to think really carefully about this. That in this dunya, we get away with so many things. Things we do that, you know, you don't get any hisab for it. And nobody comes and says to you, you did wrong or you did right, or there you go, take this, you did well. Here, take some reward, take some payment, have some money. Nobody gives you. Or you did something wrong, nobody comes and says, you did something wrong, I'm going to arrest you, I'm going to put you in jail. People get away with whatever they get away with. People do good and nothing happens to them, or do bad and nothing happens to them. This is not because Allah does not know what you do. This is because Allah has made a day where He has set that day aside, that this is the day for accounting. This is the day for al-jaza'. The day when the good people will get the good that they did and the evil people will get the evil that they did. This is the day for adab, the day when the people will be punished. So people sometimes say, well, why is this life? You know, it's not fair. Why are we not seeing this? Why is there such suffering? Why are people doing evil? Why is Islam not dominant and successful? In reality, this life is a test. But it's because Allah has made a miqat. Allah has given a time. On that time, on that day, that is when Allah has set that time for everything to be judged and taken to account for and made right. Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ibn Kathir, he said, مُؤَقَّتٌ بِأَجْلٍ مَعْدُودٍ لَا يُزَادُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْهُ وَلَا يَعْلَمُ وَقْتَهُ عَلَى التَّعْيِينِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, it is a time that has been set. It's been given a set amount of time. That day will not come early and it will not come late. It will not last any longer, or it will not be any longer or any shorter than what Allah has decreed. And nobody knows the time of that day except Allah. Nobody knows the time of that day except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, here he is looking at the fact that the time here is a time that has been given a specific, yani Yawm al-Fasl, it's going to happen at a specific time. So Ibn Jarir is looking at it differently. Ibn Jarir here, he's looking at it how that it's set aside, a certain time has been set. The day, that is the day that has been set for accounting. Ibn Kathir, he's looking at the time that it will happen. When will Yawm al-Fasli happen. When's it going to happen? It's going to happen at a specific time. It's not going to happen earlier. It's not going to happen later. It's going to happen at a specific time for a specific time. No one knows the exact time except Allah. Why did he say the exact time? Because we may know from the signs of the Qiyamah, it's getting near, or it's coming close, or this has happened, or this will happen. But the specifics of it, or we may know that it will take place on a Friday, on a Yawm al-Jumu'ah, and certain things, but we don't know the details of it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Kathir, he says mu'aqqat, and it's going to happen at a particular time. It's not random. It's not maybe happen tomorrow, maybe yesterday, maybe 2 days in the future. It's something that has been given a very specific and exact time. Ibn Jarir, he looks at it slightly differently. For him, it means that it's a day that Allah has set aside. Allah has set that day aside. Allah has put that day and set it for accounting and punishment and reward. Others, they said something different from that. They said, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِقَاتًا. Allah has set it as the time of the end of this world. And the marker, like a marker. It's the time that marks the end of this world and the beginning of the Akhirah. It's a single day. That day marks, and it is a marker for the end of this world and the beginning of the Akhirah. So this is how the time which this dunya ends is known. And this is how it's known. When is what day is the end of the dunya? And what day is the beginning of the Akhirah? What's the day that is the end of the dunya and the beginning of the Akhirah? The marker that is the difference between the two. Inna yawma al-fasli kana miqata. It is the day of judgment. And this is a new chapter now. Because now you're moving away from the discussion of the dunya now. We've moved out of Dar al-Amal into Dar al-Jaza, from the time where we were working and striving and trying to the time where you're either rewarded or punished for what you did. So some of them, they said, miqata, it means that it is the end of this world and the beginning of the next. All of these opinions are completely true and valid in reality. If you look at them all of them are completely true and valid. All of them are correct. All of them are true and valid. Yawm al-Qiyamah is the last, it's the difference, right? It's the line between the dunya and the akhirah. The dunya has ended, the akhirah has begun. And the line that is between them is Yawm al-Qiyamah. Likewise, it has been given a fixed time. It's not going to happen any sooner or any later than what Allah decreed. Likewise, it has been set aside, a time that has been set aside for judgment, for reward and for punishment. And it's been appointed for that purpose. Inna Yawm al-Fasli kana miqata. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. Mujahid, he said, زُمَرَى زُمَرَى. On the day when the horn will be blown and you will come in crowds. أَفْوَاجًا. We spoke about أَفْوَاجًا, right? Al-Fawj, the crowds. We spoke about it in Surah Al-Nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا. Coming in crowds, الفوج. الفوج is الجماعة, right? That's what the word means in Arabic. It means a jama'ah, a group. So I've got a question just to keep people from falling asleep. What are the crowds that people, in what crowds will people come Yawm al-Qiyamah? People Yawm al-Qiyamah will come in crowds. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجَ. You will come in crowds. What crowds will they come in? How will the people be organized Yawm al-Qiyamah? Everybody will come like all together? Or will the people be in some kind of organization? And what will they be organized by? Let's have a look. What are they saying? With the people you love, okay, al-mar'u, ma'a man ahab, you'll be resurrected with the people that you love. Okay, good.
According to the nations and the messengers?
Yeah, that's true, according to the messengers. And that's what Ibn Jarir said. He said, ta'ti kullu ummatin ma'a rasuliha. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ Surah Al-Isra. On the day when we call everyone by their imam. So I've got a question for you. In Surah Al-Isra, who is the imam here? On the day that we call everyone by their imam. This is the, by the way, this is the favorite ayah of the Shia. This is their like, this is the one they were looking, because no mention of imam, your imam. So what does it mean on the day when everyone will be called by their imam? Okay, one opinion is prophet. What's the other opinion from Ahl Sunnah? We don't want the opinion of the Shia, that you're going to get called by the 12 imams, which of the 12 imams, whichever imam you followed. What's the opinion of Ahl Sunnah? You're going to get called by your prophet, or you're going to get called by what? What's the word of an imam? What the word imam, what does Allah use the word imam in the Quran for? Leader. Apart from a leader. In Surah Yasin, what does Allah use the word imam for? وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ Everything we recorded in a clear imam. What's the imam then here? Everything was recorded in a clear imam. Your book. So the word imam either means prophet or it means book. Either it means prophet or it means book. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ On the day when everyone will be called by their prophet or everyone will be called by their book. Everyone will be called by their prophet or everyone will be called by their book. Before that, يَوْمَ نُنْفَخُ يَوْمَ the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّور On the day when the horn will be blown. The sur, it is a horn, right? It should never be said a trumpet. That's a trumpet is a musical instrument. A sur is a horn. A horn is an object that you blow in and it makes a sound. And the angel is blowing in the horn, and the angel that is blowing in the horn, the mashhur among the people of knowledge, and it is that the angel is Israfil, alayhi salam. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that he has raised the horn to his lips and his eyes are fixed upon the arsh because he believes that he's waiting for Allah to give the command to blow the horn. And the stronger opinion is that the horn is blown how many times? Twice. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ The horn is blown and everyone on the heavens and the earth will die except who Allah wills, and then the horn will be blown again and they will all be standing. Okay, here which blowing of the horn is mentioned, the first one or the second one? يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. On the day the horn is blown and you will come in crowds. With the second one. Why the second one? Because they'll be coming in crowds, and they're coming in crowds. This is bittifaqi ahli al-ilm. Everyone agreed from the scholars of tafsir that this is the blowing of the horn that relates to the ba'ath. This is not the blowing of the horn that causes the people to die. It's the blowing of the horn that causes the people to come out from their graves. And the statement of Abi Hurayrah radiallahu an, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما بين النفختين أربعون. Between the two blowing of the horn is 40. قالوا أربعون يوما. They said 40 days. قال أبيت. He said, he didn't speak about it. And I can't say. قالوا أربعون شهرا. 40 months. قال أبيت. قالوا أربعون سنة. They said 40 years. قال أبيت. Meaning that we don't have information about, is it 40 days, 40 years, or 40 months. But between the two blowings of the horn is 40. Between the two blowings of the horn is 40. Okay. And the hadith of the hadith, يأتي النبي يوم القيامة ومعه الرهط ويأتي النبي يوم القيامة ومعه الرجل والنبي ومعه الرجلان والنبي وليس معه أحد أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. There will come a prophet on the day of judgment with a large crowd of people, and there will come a prophet on the day of judgment that has one man with him, and there will come a prophet with two men, and there will come a prophet and nobody is with them at all. Nobody answered them at all. This is the meaning of فَيَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. Each people will come with their prophet. Now if you imagine, and we don't really know, you know, the details of it, but subhanAllah, you imagine that the graves are spread all over the world, right? And, you know, Allah will change the earth for sure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the earth. And who knows, perhaps the graves will be brought closer, but the people will come from their graves. They will go in crowds according to their prophet, or according to the book that was sent to them. According to their prophet or according to the book that was sent to them. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On the day that we will call everyone by their prophet or by their book. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. One second before that, I want to check the hadith. ومعه He said Ar-Rahd, or he said Ar-Ruhayt. And he said Ar-Rahd, or he said Ar-Ruhayt. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith about the Prophet that will come. As far as I know, there are two different wordings of the same hadith, but I will check. Ar-Ruhayt is a group of less than 10. Yani some Prophet will come with a small group. وَمَعَهُ الرَّهْطِ, yani not a large group, a small group of people. That's what I wanted to check. Not Ar-Rahd is a small group of people, right? Less than 10. Ar-Ruhayt in some of the narration. In Sahih Muslim, that's what it says, Ar-Ruhayt. There will come a Prophet with a small group of people, and there will come a Prophet with one or person, and there will come a Prophet with two people, and there will come a Prophet that doesn't have anyone with them at all. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا. And the heavens will be opened and they will be أبوابا. The word أبواب, right, it means, it's the plural of باب, right, it means like gates. The heaven will be gates. So what does it mean that the heaven will be gates? There are two opinions here that we want to mention. One is that the heavens will be turuqan wa masalik li nuzul al-malaika, that the heavens will be paths for the angels to, the angels will come down. And this, you know, it has an evidence in Surah Al-Furqan. وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا. On the day when the heavens will be split open with the clouds, and the angels will descend with a clear descent. And there are many other ayat like that. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. But some of the scholars of tafsir, they said abwaba, meaning it will appear like abwab. And that you look at the heavens and see the sky to be like gates to the heavens, like doors or gates to the heavens. And that's interesting, because if you look at what Allah said about the heavens earlier on, what did Allah say in the same surah about the heavens earlier on? وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبَعًا شِدَادًا. The seven heavens are strong. There's no gaps, there's no breaks, there's no nothing you can see. But on that day when you look, you will see the heavens as though they are doorways, gateways, and the angels will be descending in large numbers. That's what appears to be the tafsir of the ayah. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. And the mountains, yeah, I wanted to. وَصُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. The mountains will be moved or removed, and they will become a mirage. The mountains will be removed and they will become a mirage. They will seem like, it will look like the mountains are there, but actually they are not there at all. Some of the scholars say the mountains will go through three phases. When the mountains are, the mountains now, they are, what did Allah say about the mountains? وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ. Now the mountains are these really strong pegs, and they are holding the earth firm, like the pegs that hold the tent, like the stakes that hold the tent from falling down. On that day, the first thing is that the mountains become a mirage. Like, it seems like there is something there. It seems like there is something there. But actually, when you come to it, it's just an image. It's just like an imagination. And then the effect of the mountains will disappear completely. They will disappear completely. And this is mentioned in Surah Taha, in which Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. They ask you about the mountains. Say, my Lord will blow them away with a blast, and he will make the earth completely level. You will not see any dip in the land or any raising of the land. And this, they say, is the third phase of the mountains. And after they become a mirage, they become completely flat. There are no mountains. There is nothing you see. فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا. There is nothing that raises up, nothing that goes down. Completely flat land without any markings at all. لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. And as we mentioned, the link to this is that Allah mentioned the mountains previously in the surah and how strong they are. And then Allah mentions Yawm al-Qiyamah, how the mountains will disappear. And Allah mentioned the heavens and how strong it is. And Allah mentions how the heavens will be split apart on that day. How they will be, فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. They will be like doorways or like gateways. Ibn Jarir, he said about the mountains, هَبَاءً مُنْبَثَّ لِعَيْنِ النَّاظِرِ كَالسَّرَابِ. Like that, it's like scattered dust. It's like scattered dust. And the person will see it like as though it is a mirage, but in fact it is just scattered. It's scattered dust. And the idea that it goes through phases is also mentioned in Surah Al-Haqqah. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدَةً. And in marhalat ad-dak, they are, first of all, they become shook, they become like wool, they become like dust, and then they disappear until the earth comes as a flat plain. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. And this, inshaAllah ta'ala, is where we're going to stop for today. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. That jahannam is lying in wait. We've said mirsad before, but which surah did we explain mirsad in? Surah Al-Fajr. Surah Al-Fajr. And we said mirsad is when you are ambushed, right? When you're ambushed by something. Something is waiting to attack you when you can't see it. It's waiting to attack you. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. So as for the description of jahannam, inshallah, we'll cover it in the next class, along with the description of Jannah, the description of jahannam and its punishment, and the description of Jannah and its blessings. We'll cover that, inshallah ta'ala, in the next class. There is something I would like to just let people know about, which is a few changes which will be happening, inshallah. So a few small announcements and a few changes. The first thing is that, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we have a one-off session, inshallah, after Maghrib, which is 4:30 p.m. UK time. That's, what is that? 4:30 p.m. UK time is 8:30 p.m. Dubai time. And so, inshallah, that gives some time for people. And this will be a Ruqya Q&A session, inshallah. It's a live session. It won't be done from the masjid. I don't believe it's going to be done from the set at home, inshallah. And basically, we're going to be taking people's questions on Ruqya. And inshallah, we're going to be announcing a brand new Ruqya course, which is going to be taking place in the coming weeks, inshallah. And that's going to be an online live course, which is going to be at least 11 weeks, probably more than 11 weeks, inshallah, which is going to take place on a Sunday at around Maghrib time, inshallah ta'ala. So we will announce that. But the announcement that I wanted to make today is that over the next few weeks, we are going to be moving the live classes to Vimeo. Basically, I've been really deeply unhappy about the live classes on YouTube. I really feel like there's all these adverts are getting put into them. We never ever monetized the channel. We never ever wanted any adverts on the channel. But now it came to the stage where YouTube inserting their own adverts without permission. And it's their terms and conditions. They are just putting adverts in, music, all kinds of stuff you don't want, people not dressed properly. SubhanAllah, and you try to control it, you try to limit it, but you know, they are, especially the live classes, they are putting these adverts in. So inshallah, what we're gonna do, we're still gonna use the YouTube channel, we're gonna still post videos there, but actually we're gonna move the main content over to Vimeo inshallah. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, through the website and through the Telegram group, inshallah, we'll be able to keep up people up to date with the latest classes, the latest videos. Alhamdulillah, Vimeo should be much better. It doesn't have any adverts. It doesn't have any of this related content where you're watching a video and some shaitan comes up next. And they give you one video of inshallah goodness and one video of shaitan comes afterwards. So we want to get rid of that. So I'm still going to use the YouTube channel because a lot of people watch it or a lot of people know about it. But it's going to be secondary now. It's not going to be the main channel. The main thing we're going to use is Vimeo. We're going to fix the website, inshallah, and people will be able to watch it directly without seeing any of that haram, inshallah ta'ala. That's my goal. That will take a few weeks. We will not do it straight away because it's a big job. So it's going to be slowly, inshallah. So the best way to stay up to date is either on the Telegram channel, which is Muhammad Tim Official on Telegram. Download the app, just put Muhammad Tim Official. Or you can stay up to date either, you could subscribe to the YouTube channel and I'll post an update, or even for those people who, for some reason or another, are on Instagram, there is somebody posts on that. I don't post it, but there's a brother, Jazallahu Khairan, who posts on there. So inshallah, the updates will be, any people will know about it, inshallah. We'll not hide it. The videos will not disappear into nothing, inshallah. But we will make that change, inshallah, over the coming weeks. Probably tafsir, we'll make it when we finish surah An-Naba. So when we start Juz Tabarak, we will start with the live classes on Vimeo, and YouTube, we will just upload copies later on. So people don't miss out, but we are not, we'll encourage people to actually access the classes via the website or via Vimeo directly, so they don't see this associated content and they don't see these adverts as well. Because it's been really, wallah, since YouTube changed the policy, it's been troubling me so much, wallah. I've been really not liking it at all. That subhanAllah, they are putting, things on there and it's not nice. That people come for something good and they get something that is not good. So that's the plan, inshaAllah ta'ala. It will take some time before it happens, but in the next few weeks, it will start changing over, inshaAllah. So bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, that's enough for today, inshaAllah. And that's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa iyakum.